Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
If you're a regular listener to KKHI, you know I don't spend a lot of time chasing every single story about either a natural disaster or some sort of weather event that takes place that a lot of, they call it clickbait on social media or the internet, but on television it just dominates coverage in television. Any of these network shows that you see, they love to lead with anything that's, you know, too much snow, bad weather, people dying in the heat, unbelievable hurricanes. It could happen, you know, the week leading up to a hurricane that never really hits landfall. We've all seen this exaggeration, so I almost always stay away from these stories unless something really catches my attention. And what has happened in Maui is just stunning and shocking to me. It is a place that I feel sure many of you have been and visited on vacation. The town of Lahaina, right there by some of the resorts where the basketball tournament is played every year, the golf tournament is played every year, that you've seen many, many times and in many cases dreamed of going there. I've only been there once. To me, it was a bucket list kind of thing to go there, go to Maui, go see all of this. And I will not forget our nights in the evening going down there and doing a little light shopping and having dinner in Lahaina, right by the water. It's a beautiful place. It was a charming area. It was not overly commercial or filled with chains and things like that. It felt right. It felt like you were in a very unique place on the island of Maui, and was very special to millions of people through the years that have visited Maui and gone on vacation there, and it is just flat gone. It is gone. And this is one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. If you've seen the aerial photos now, the satellite imagery of how beautiful it was and, you know, right on the edge of the water and all of the different, it's hard to describe how neat this town was. And I've never seen anything like this before. We have 36 dead already in Lahaina. That number has nowhere to go but up at this point. Like the residents there or the people trying to save their businesses or whatever was taking place in the downtown area had nowhere to go. It seems like many residents were able to get out of their house and get off the island. Some 11,000 people have been taken off this island. 2,000 residents have fled their homes and left them to burn. There were wildfires taking place on Maui and near Lahaina when a hurricane way, hundreds and hundreds of miles away started kicking up winds on the island and made them swirl and came in a direction where it pushed any fire inland and across. And what happened was it went toward Lahaina and the winds were so high, there was nothing anybody could do. They couldn't send those planes and the water drops and all of the things that you would typically do to try to put wildfires out, because the hurricane in some places winds were then 70 miles an hour. So this was absolute unbelievable, perfect storm of two things being a confluence, and that is some wildfires taking place because it's been dry, which is unusual in Hawaii. We think of Hawaii, most of us think of Hawaii as very wet and raining a lot of days, but there is a dry part of Maui, a very dry part. Maui has a lot of different ecosystems on one island, and Hawaii is unique that way. And then the winds came that accelerated this thing, and it became apparently one of the craziest scenes you've ever seen, where people had literally no way out and nowhere to go other than to go into the ocean, to jump into the ocean to try to save their life. And in high winds, choppy seas, smoke and fire everywhere, this became a deadly scenario, obviously. People got trapped and went to the water. Most of the pictures that I've seen, the only real way to describe it, if you haven't seen it, and there's one where off in the distance, there's some trees, but they sort of look like cranes, and there's some backhoes and tractors have been brought in and some equipment. I hate to use this comparison. It looks like Pearl Harbor. I mean, it looks just like Pearl Harbor, maybe worse, because it's complete devastation. There were no spots that weren't hit. It wiped everything out. Lahaina is gone. The videos that you will watch of the fire raging and they're still burning, they're still buildings standing there, those buildings are now gone. So any videos that you see of when this was taking place, those people fled and whatnot, this is one of the most unbelievable things I've seen. And it, you know, there is an element to this that when it happens in a place that is so nice, so kind, so pure, in paradise, it is different than when we see something like an industrial plant blow up or something. I'm not saying that there's any difference in death and fire. I just know the way we view these things is just completely different. I think we look at a lot of industrial plants that do things and say, well, we know that those could be prone to accidents or fires or things could happen there. You know, things in the Rust Belt, we see train wrecks and we know that our train rails and railroads are dangerous and that they're kind of old and antiquated and we're carrying things maybe that we shouldn't be carrying and crossings aren't taken care of. We see a lot of things that we can explain. This one seems impossible to explain. We think of this as paradise. I've been alive a long time. Maybe I've paid no attention whatsoever, but I've never really heard of wildfires in Hawaii. When I think wildfires, I think the American West. I mostly think of California, but other places in the American West. I think of California because that gets all the media attention and that's where people live that are affected by them. But there's all kinds of wildfires in Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and places like that where it doesn't affect many people because they can rage on for hundreds of miles where there's no population. This is just unbelievable. I'm sure you've seen it, and I guess I don't really have much to add here other than we pray for the people of Maui. There are fellow citizens. Many of them were able to get to other islands. Some people were on vacation, were able to get off Maui to another island and fly home to the mainland. 11,000 people have been evacuated, but the death toll clearly is going to go up when you have a scenario where people are trapped and they jump in the ocean. There's just no other way to describe this. It looks like a World War II footage. It looks like World War II photos, like places in Europe that were just leveled and burned to the ground. It's gone. Lahaina is gone. It is gone, and I feel sure that many of you have been there, and there is nothing left of it, absolutely nothing left, just a devastating story. And we pray for those people and pray that it doesn't continue and that they get it under control. It seems that they have at this point and that it doesn't happen ever again. Just an unbelievable scenario, and I know many of you have seen it, but I can't not start the podcast talking about something that I've never seen before. I'm just in shock over the whole thing. I'm sure you are too if you've seen it. Okay, on to the news and bad news for Joe Biden that they just continue to ignore, running around talking about Bidenomics. New polling says 70%. Now, we did one on the Patreon podcast yesterday talking a little bit about this, that 63% of Americans disapprove of the job Biden is doing with the economy. There's a new number out now. 70%, this is impossible. There's 70% of nothing in this country. 70% of Americans disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing with inflation. 70% of Americans agree that Joe Biden has no clue what he's doing with inflation. Most of these people that understand this and give this response in a poll probably know that the reason we have inflation is our government is spending money that it doesn't have. That it's trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and it's money that we simply do not have. And that's what's caused this. Joe Biden and the Biden administration have caused this inflation. They will tell you it's a reaction to COVID, that we, you know, everything we did with COVID, there was no stopping this in any way ever. But that's not true. We had inflation, and then we passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which all went to green energy and all this other crap that they're spending money on, and it just accelerated inflation. Never in the history of American politics has a party passed something with a lie in the name. Calling it an Inflation Reduction Act is anything but. It is the exact opposite. They are chronic liars, and at least by this poll, Americans see through it. Maybe they don't know it as the issue that I'm describing, that it was caused by the Inflation Reduction Act and the things the Democrats are doing. Maybe they don't know that, but it doesn't matter. If 70% of the people disapprove of the job Joe Biden is doing with inflation, they understand it's his fault. And ultimately, understanding why it happened isn't very important when people go vote. Understanding who caused it is important. And as everybody is pumping gas here at the end of summer, and hitting $4 a gallon, over twice what it was under Donald Trump, they're feeling it again. Every single time you gas up, you feel it. Every single time you go to the grocery store, you feel it. Americans' lives have changed under Joe Biden. They're not locked down like they were during COVID, but a lot of people are just choosing, nope, if we used to go out to eat, you know, three or four times a month, we're down to one or two times a month. If we used to go to a Royals game four or five times a summer, we're down to one or two. If we're used to going to a movie every month, we're down to two movies this year. You know, whatever it may be, people are pulling back. And this was all designed. When they raised the rates, they're like, we don't want people to buy cars. We don't want them to buy houses. We don't want them to do anything. We want to slow the economy so inflation gets under control. I do believe the Biden administration thinks inflation is their weakest point. It's shocking to me that that's the case. There's a lot of different things economically. The real wages are just not good. It's all tied together. But I think they view it as something that is a killer to them in the next election because it's so simple to understand. And normally, people go about their day-to-day lives, whether it's true or not, thinking that the price of everything is going up and getting by every month is getting harder. People just have this in their head. Americans have had this in their head for hundreds of years. It's getting harder every day. Well, that's not true. Our lives are better than they've ever been. We have everything that we have today is better. It's easier to live today than it was in the good old days 50 years ago. It's just easier to live. It's easier to live a long life. It's easier to be prosperous. It's easier to not die. I've mentioned this many times, from simple things like automobile safety compared to what 50 years ago, people weren't wearing seatbelts. You get in a crash, you're dead. It's not the case today. A lot of people survive accidents. We have a lot of things that we don't even think about that make our lives so much better, safer, and easier today than ever before. What about the iPhone? How much safer is your life because of your iPhone? If you get stranded, if you need to call 911, if you have any kind of a problem, how much better is your life that having a flat tire now, even 10 miles outside of the city, is maybe a 90-minute inconvenience instead of an all-day deal where you're hoping somebody will help you or you're sticking your thumb out trusting a stranger to not kill you? Just things like that. So all the complaining that we have and the things we have wired in our brain that it's always harder isn't true, even though we think that way. Largely, as a population, we think that way. But this 70% inflation number is real. Americans know it. They're seeing it every single day. Even if they've gotten pay raises, you know, like my mom, I talk about my mom a lot. She got her cost of living adjustment for Social Security. It was pretty good. I think it was close to 10%. And she finds ways to cut back and she's really good with her money and doesn't spend more than she has and all of those things. But man, when she goes to Walmart every Tuesday to get her groceries, she sees it. She doesn't like the price of her peaches. Peaches. She's seen them go up. She'll notice now. She's got these little, I don't know what you even call them. They're fruit bar things of some sort. She likes the grape ones and she loves them. And she can't believe the price of them now. We're all seeing that with different items in the store that we can't believe. And it's pretty clear in polling that Americans are blaming Joe Biden. And that is correct. This is a Joe Biden who is confronting Peter Ducey of Fox News, saying that's a lousy question because Ducey was allowed to ask him about Devin Archer's testimony and what he said damaging about his son. And Joe Biden still is contending that he had nothing to do with the business, even though, as we chronicled on yesterday's podcast, it's just piling up on Joe Biden that he was very involved with this business. It's so bad economically in America right now for many people that withdrawing, taking money, paying taxes and penalties for taking money out of your retirement account, your 401k account, there's a penalty and a tax if you take it out. Withdrawals are up 36% year over year. So it was already bad under Biden, and it's getting worse. This is desperate people saying, I can't get by. I can't afford what I'm doing here. I got to take money out of my 401k. I'll pay the penalty and I'll pay the taxes. It's going to create a tax problem for people because they're not going to hold their money for taxes. They're going to take $25,000 out to do whatever it is that they got to do to get by. They're not going to hold back money for taxes and penalties. The situation is just going to get worse and worse. People are going to make terrible, terrible decisions. To me, that's the winning strategy, the winning story for the election. But I saw a meme on Twitter yesterday from Tim Runs His Mouth. That's his handle, at Tim Runs His Mouth. And there's no pictures. There's no graphics. There's just five sentences in really big, bold type. And this says it all about where we are in America today. This is the most all-encompassing thing I've ever read. It's very simple. I think this should become the Republican National Committee advertising against Joe Biden. I think this is it. I think you put this on a screen and you leave it on a screen. You the first one comes up, then the second one, you play this ominous music, this dun 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 dun, something like that behind it in the background. And you put this up on the screen and you leave a few seconds at the end saying America can't tolerate Joe Biden and the Democrats anymore. The first line is cocaine was found at Biden's house. The second line is a dead body was found at Obama's house. The third line is a male prostitute was found at Pelosi's house. The fourth line is an illegal server was found at the Clintons' house. The fifth line, so the FBI raided Trump's house. That is the kind of stuff that people can understand. I'm sorry to say this, we got to simplify this election. We have to create a common enemy for the American people, a bad guy, which is what they try to do to Trump every single day. Create a bad guy, and the bad guy here is the party. Joe Biden is the face of that party, the epitome of what's wrong with that party. You can't look at that party and not think it's broken. Remind people what they do. There's cocaine in the White House. By the way, there's a report out there that Joe Biden knows exactly whose cocaine it was, that it's a part of his family sphere, but it doesn't belong to Hunter. That's been leaking. The New York Post has reported that. They know whose cocaine that was. Don't even think that they don't know whose cocaine that was at the White House. We got to find out who. Now I'm really curious. If it's not Hunter's, but it's someone in the family circle, the family sphere, I really want to know. Could it be Joe's? Do they give him a little toot up his nose every now and then when he's got to go out there and get on TV to wake him up a little bit? Wouldn't you like to know? I mean, I think if I had, you know, if I had one wish, I'm not thinking this through. I've always said if I had one wish, I'd wish for 1,000 more wishes. You know, it seems like the easy thing to do. That way you just have them and get what you want. But wouldn't it be great to have a wish and have it granted? Wouldn't you like to drug test Joe Biden? Wouldn't you like to actually see what pills and medicines are in his body? I actually think it would be a great law to pass. As many regulations as they slap on us, what would be wrong with passing a law that says once every quarter, the President of the United States shall give up a blood sample and we'll see what's in his system? I mean, randomly, we do it with athletes. I think a random drug test would be great for the President of the United States. I think we have the right to know. We have the right to know. They hide everything. We have the right to know. I'd extend that to the Speaker of the House and the Senate leader. I have no problem with any of that. Do you? I don't have any problem. I would love to know what's in that man's body. This thing is an absolute mess. All right, so we get a Utah man. The president is in Utah. So a guy that lives in Provo, which is about 45 minutes away from Salt Lake City, where President Biden is going to be, he's a MAGA guy. Let's cut right to the chase. This is Mr. MAGA. He's apparently retired Air Force, but he's not very smart. You can tell by his posts. He doesn't know how to spell things and things like that. He's holed up in a place in Provo that's just got guns and guns and guns and guns and guns. So this is the exact poster child for the left of what they think MAGA is. This sick dude made sick threats against everyone, from Bragg, the DA, to, you know, the president, anybody Democrat, Gavin Newsom, and each one graphically, explicitly says, I'd like to take my Smith & Wesson and then the millimeter caliber of the gun, one single shot to the forehead and watch the blood drip out while I curse them going to hell or something like that. It's awful. You can't do it. Free speech is protected. Violent threats are not. They've let this guy get away with this for a long, long time. The president's headed to Salt Lake City, which gives them every reason. It's even worse because this man repeatedly challenged authorities to get a search warrant and come and get him. He challenged the FBI to come and get him. Get your warrant. Next time you come back here or want to hassle me, you better have a warrant. This guy, I mean, the things that he posted. Now, it's pretty obvious he was no real threat to anybody. He's never hurt anybody. He never acted on any of these things. You know, he put these things on there and said, yeah, I'm going to travel to New York and get Alvin Bragg. And I'm going to go to D.C. and put a Biden in. This particular threat was, hey, he's going to be in Salt Lake City. I'm really close. Maybe I'll go find Biden with my sniper rifle. Time to dust off my sniper rifle and put on my camouflage suit and go put a bullet in Biden. This is the kind of stuff he's posting. He's an idiot. He's not right. There's something wrong with this man. But he never acted on any of these things. So he wasn't likely to be the guy that was actually going to go do it. Maybe he had some sort of syndrome that he wanted to be, think he was a hero or die a hero, and he got his wish. He challenged the authorities to come and get him. I dare you to get a warrant. Come on my property. They came with a warrant. They came on his property, and a gunfire exchange ensued, and he got killed. There's no reason to give his name and make him some kind of a hero. He's not. This is why it's so hard for the MAGA party. There's always crazy people on both sides. Their crazy people don't get much attention. Ours get a lot of attention. You will hear a lot about this guy. And they will. They'll jump all over this. He'll become the poster child of Trump supporters. And it's unfortunate. It doesn't sound right to me that the FBI just shows up and kills a guy. So I'm waiting to hear all the details. Initially, you hear this and you're like, okay, this guy wasn't really a threat to anybody. He never really did anything. He's got a lot of guns. You know, he's waiting for the end of the world. You come to me and I'm armed and I'm ready. I'm sure they will say he fired upon them first or something of that nature, and that's why it all happened. And maybe that's true, but it does in this era. The problem with the FBI now and the feds is you can't really trust them to not just go take this guy out. You can't. You can't. We haven't heard many details on this yet, but I'd sure like to know. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. And if you guys got a business and you have machines there, if you have copiers, printers, phone systems, things of that nature, I'm telling you, Mark and his team are unbelievable with their customer service. They have all the great products that you need. They will likely save you money from what you're currently paying. And they're around for service when you have an issue to show you how to use it. Some people get with these big corporations and they'll send them 50 new phones. They have no idea how to install them. They don't send a person. Now somebody at your organization is trying to figure out how to put this system together. Or you try to hire some Geek Squad guy to come out and do it for you. It's insane. It's ridiculous. 360 Document Solutions handles all of it to make sure that your business is running at maximum efficiency. 913-745-5344. Give Mark and his team a call at 360 Document Solutions. Any business, really, in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, they can likely work with you. 360documentsolutions.com. Fry Orthodontics is online at fryorthodontics.com. I got an email from a gentleman the other day that said he went to Fry Orthodontics about 6 weeks ago and got his first consultation that he's had. Not a full grill of crooked teeth, but a couple that have bothered him, you know, for much of his life. These were lower level teeth, and you can't always see those because of your lip or whatever. But he's like, I can see them enough, and I know they're there. And he went in, he got a consultation. They said, hey, we're going to get this done. He didn't tell me the exact treatment or whatever. He said, I couldn't have been happier. I can't wait to get these fixed. I've been living with them for years, and I don't know why. Great question. If you want that beautiful smile, Fry Orthodontics would love to work with you or anyone in your family. 13 locations in the area. Invisalign or braces, same price. Your smile is just the start at fryorthodontics.com. And the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, Kansas is ready to host you for business or fun, whatever it may be. They routinely do wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, and more. If you know somebody in the Manhattan, Junction City, Fort Riley area, Wamego, that's getting married or having an event, and you have family there, recommend to them, hey, check out the Bluemont Hotel. It's a great place for, you know, rehearsal dinners or, you know, wedding receptions, or maybe even have the ceremony there. Most people get married in the church and then go to the Bluemont Hotel and have their wedding reception there. It is the destination in the Manhattan area, which is a pretty big area. There's a lot of people in different places. You could be down, live in Council Grove and say, hey, the Bluemont Hotel is where we want to have our wedding reception. It makes sense. It's a really, really cool place. BluemontHotel.com. Ask for group reservations if you'd like to take a group sometime. Or if you're trying to get to a football game this fall, just log on, see if you can get that room or give them a call and have a great time at the Bluemont Hotel. It's a world-class hotel in a perfect location in Manhattan with Goolsby's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center right there. Pour your own beer right off the wall. Pretty cool stuff at Goolsby's at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. We touched on this yesterday on the Patreon podcast. A lot of times I will get emails from folks who say, hey, why didn't you do this on the podcast? Say, yeah, I did this on the Patreon podcast. This is going to be a growing story, so it's bleeding over to the regular podcast today. This is normally one I would keep for just the patrons, but I don't think this is going to go away. We have a NASCAR Cup race coming up in a couple of weeks here in Kansas City, first week of September. Noah Gragson will not be racing. He's a 25-year-old rookie, and I've been monitoring this story, but I haven't really brought it up here on this podcast because I wasn't really sure what to make of it. And I'll say this off the top. Noah Gragson should not have done what he did. What he did was tacky and distasteful, but he's 25, and I can't tell you that I wouldn't have done the same thing when I was 25. Noah Gragson, who's 33rd in the rankings right now in the NASCAR Cup, liked a meme on social media. The meme was from The Little Mermaid. They have this crab and the song Under the Sea, Under the Sea, and he sings and the whole deal, and this crab dances around. And they took this animated still shot from the movie of the crab, and they replaced the face of the crab with George Floyd's face. And it said, under the knee, da-da-da-da, instead of under the sea. As you know, George Floyd died after a knee was placed on his neck. I personally think George Floyd would have died either way. I think he was going to die of an overdose that day, regardless of what happened. But I'm not going to relitigate that thing. We've already done that and been there and done that. Noah Gragson saw this and liked it, which is what, the thumbs up? He liked it. I don't know exactly when this was. I have read accounts that this might have been some time ago. Doesn't seem very topical or current to me. So I don't have that answer. I've been looking for that. Maybe you have seen it. I read one account that said this was quite a while ago. And in every new account that I'm reading on the story, it doesn't say that he posted it 2 weeks ago. It doesn't say when he did it or when he liked it. Like, this could have been in the back channels of his social media before he was a cup driver. I don't have that answer. They suspended him. Then his team owner fired him and replaced him with a guy named Josh Berry. You know, I can't jump up and down and scream that this is the end of the world. I don't know all of the details, but clearly he shouldn't have done it. It was in very poor taste about a dead person. Very poor taste. And you're representing NASCAR every single time you post something, like something, retweet something. You're representing NASCAR. You are, and your team and your owner. So I understand they're being upset. However, I completely understand that this is a conservative sport, and conservatives are outraged that Noah Gragson, who is white, has lost his job over this when Bubba Wallace, who is black, was never punished for a race hoax. When there was a noose hanging in his garage and he alerted the media that this was happening and it was a joke, it was a hoax, and everybody knew it, Bubba Wallace is out there racing. He races for Michael Jordan in NASCAR, and he was never disciplined, suspended, or punished for creating a race hoax like Jesse Smollett. They just let it go. So NASCAR fans are mad. And I hope the NASCAR fans are a little bit like me saying, well, we don't think Gragson should have done this, but NASCAR has gone woke. They've gone after the white guy who actually did less than the black guy who created a hoax or was part of a hoax. And they never punished him at all. And this guy has lost his job and has been canceled from the sport. So what's happening now, and this has been several days, what's happening now on social media is NASCAR fans are uniting and saying, let's Bud Light them. Oh, look out, NASCAR. If social media decides to Bud Light you over free speech, that's what this is, free speech. We haven't seen Kid Rock take a gun and start shooting up NASCAR logos or NASCAR merchandise. We haven't seen the giant heavy hitter celebrities jump on board on this. And I don't think they will. I could be wrong, but I don't think they will. Look, it's hard to support Noah Gragson in this. You know, it's a nuanced deal. What probably was the best result of this would be to suspend him for a few races, send him to some, you know, counseling sessions and say, okay, he's a young guy. He made a mistake. He didn't mean anything by it. He just thought it was kind of funny and he liked it. He didn't create it. He didn't even retweet it. He just hit the like button on it. And the suspension could have been served and he could have got his, you know, training or whatever. And they could have said, this is okay. And we move on. That isn't what happened. His employer fired him, essentially, maybe not NASCAR, but actually his team owner fired him. And now NASCAR fans say they are going to Bud Light NASCAR. We'll see. It's not easy to just go find a replacement for NASCAR. It was easy to find a replacement for Bud Light. I don't see nearly the similarities necessary to do real damage to NASCAR. But let's be honest, it doesn't take many. If 10% of the conservative fans out there say, I'm not buying tickets, I'm not watching on TV, NASCAR has a huge problem. A really, 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 really big problem. I got this from Greg. Thank you, Greg, for sending this email in. Here are your stats from our summer of heat, the record heat, the global warming. You've been inundated with this, right? For a month, that's all we've heard about, is what a disaster it is. Kansas City's not unusual. A lot of the Midwest falls in this category. They kept talking about Phoenix heat. They didn't talk about everybody else. Okay? Here we go. In July, Kansas City was 1 degree less than normal. Our average was 77 degrees. That's our average temperature. We had 15 days with light rain. We had 7 days with heavy rain. July 4th to 5th, for 24 hours, we received 1.14 inches of rain. We received 5.41 inches for the month. The average is 4.58. That's just unbelievable, right? July 10th was the coldest day. 59 degrees was our low. The coldest July on record was 1997. So much for global warming. That seems rather close. The high temperature for the month was 99 degrees. 42% of all Julys on record in Kansas City hit 100, including 1954's record high of 112. This was one of the cooler Julys on record. How many heat wave stories did you hear? And it just isn't happening. There's just nothing out there to support any of this. And we like pointing that out whenever we can. Sports brought to you by B-Stock and B-Stock.net with a perfect dorm room TVs, back-to-school doorbusters for your kids. Samsung TU 7000 43-inch smart TV is perfect for a dorm room, just $209. That's crazy. The Lenovo ThinkPad L14, this is a monster. This is a beautiful machine. It's perfect for students. It's also one of the models of laptop they're giving away free this month, just $499. They're running huge deals on appliances with refrigerators, stoves, washers, and dryers, some at about $500. They now will pick it up and deliver it. They'll do it all at bstock.net. Review them on Facebook or leave a Google review to enter to win free prizes. Every month, they give away two great prizes in drawings. Check out the website, bstock.net, for details. And there's no reason that you wouldn't go there and try to win something free. None. Zero. So go to bstock.net and learn how you can win free stuff every single month or visit them 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. The new car image is just making Kansas City's roads look better. The more cars the new car image details out and puts that ceramic coat on and shines up and polishes the grill and sweetens up the chrome and toothbrushes the tires, the wheels, and just makes everything sparkle, the better our roads look. If Kansas City, Missouri won't fix the potholes, at least we can have better looking cars driving around, can't we? The new car image is online at thenewcarimage.com. That's thenewcarimage.com. Just call my friend Brad. If you've got a company and you have some fleet cars, you need this company to come take care of your vehicles. You know your employees don't. Clean them up once a year, right? And maybe the employees will take a little better care of them. They'll definitely be worth more when you're ready to move on and get newer vehicles for your fleet. Thenewcarimage.com. They'll work with your fleet no matter how many vehicles you have or just your everyday truck that you drive around in that needs to be cleaned up. This is so much, folks, you can't believe what they'll do with your car. 816-499-1470. Like my poor dog Cabo goes everywhere with me. After Brad did mine, my car's only 2 years old. I keep it relatively clean, but when he did it, I'm like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Poor Cabo didn't get to ride with me for like 6 weeks. Like, you ain't getting in my car. You shed. No. You will. You'll treat your own car different for several weeks after doing this. And that's kind of a cool thing. Thank you to so many of you that have gone to MyPillow.com and MyStore.com and used the promo code KKHI. It's fantastic. We are thrilled to be affiliated with MyPillow and MyStore.com. Mike Lindell's a great success story, overcoming hardship, drug addiction, building a massive company, and now supporting conservative politics. We love that about Mike Lindell. I have slept with a MyPillow for over 10 years now. I'm on, I think, my third or fourth MyPillow. They're just fantastic. They really, truly are. If you want to try to get a great night's sleep, this is part of the MyPillow that gets overlooked. If you've never tried one, try one. They really are exceptional. I love it. I love MyPillow. Use the promo code KKHI. It is the largest discount you can get on any product on their website or any product on the website mystore.com. KKHI is your promo code. On to sports, and we mentioned the Hollywood Casino here in Kansas City has a sports book. A lot of people talked about this last year. I put some pictures online and talked about the long line after the Super Bowl. Everybody that went there to cash in their winning bets, they got crushed. They didn't make any money in Kansas, all right? Everybody won. KU won all season and covered. They went on the season total over. K-State won the Big 12. Everybody won. Cover. Everybody won last year. Everybody. And the later it was in the year, the more covering was going on. It was sensational. So that's Hollywood Casino. They're owned by a company called Penn Gaming. And they had the Barstool Sportsbook. And they had this in 16 states or more where they operate casinos. But they'll be available to have that app in any state that allows legalized gambling. That is now more than half the states. I think it's like 28 or 30 states where it's legal. Well, Barstool is out. Penn has kicked him to the curb. That's Dave Portnoy's business. And they lost. I mean, they bought this thing for Portnoy. He personally made money, but it never worked. He claimed that he was a lightning rod, that the media came after him, that regulators came after him because he was affiliated with this. And so Penn Gaming is now going with a liberal brand as their sports book partner. And the entire industry has been waiting for 2 or 3 years to find out what ESPN is going to do. They're creating ESPN Bet. And here's the details of this merger. Penn Gaming, which owns these casinos, will have sports books in there called ESPN Bet. Penn is paying ESPN $1.5 billion over 10 years. ESPN will purchase 32 million shares of Penn worth $500 million. So it's a $2 billion deal, but it's a net $1 billion deal, Penn to ESPN. Penn's stock went up 14%. DraftKings went down 10%. ESPN says, I'll believe this when I see it, that ESPN Bet will be the exclusive sports book of ESPN, that you will no longer see DraftKings ads, MGM ads. You'll never see any of those things on ESPN. That the only gambling you will see promoted anywhere, from original content to commercial breaks to everything else, is going to be ESPN Bet. That they are all in and believe that they will build the largest sports book perhaps in the world, because they'll have this globally. There's ESPN Deportes. There's ESPN everywhere. Now, that's not exclusive to Penn. They'll have to have other partners in other countries where they do this. But that means Hollywood Casino, which was to open this massive sports book in time for football season, they just haven't. I think they were waiting on this to announce this merger because the signage, obviously, they couldn't put all the signage up that says Barstool. They knew they were dumping them. They were hoping to get the ESPN contract. They had to outbid a lot of big boys in the gaming industry to get this deal. This is a big thing. And you will, when Missouri passes it, you'll have this at Hollywood Casino and Argosy, and in Kansas and soon in Missouri, you'll be able to sign up for the ESPN Bet app and do all your sports betting through that on your phone. Big major deal in that industry. How about Bobby Witt Jr., the Kansas City Royals? We mentioned earlier that he became the first player in Major League history in his first 2 years. In both years, he hit 20 home runs and 30 stolen bases. The Hall of Fame tweeted out yesterday in Cooperstown with a picture of Bobby Witt Jr. and the jersey he wore the day that he did that, like 4 or 5 days ago, that the jersey is headed to Cooperstown. Bobby Witt Jr. is 23 years old and his jersey's in the Hall of Fame. If you think that's an obscure stat, I understand you think that's obscure. But it merges the two things that have mattered most in baseball over the last 100 years. We've either been in a speed era or a power era. Offensively, that's where we've been. When I was growing up, it was a speed era. Everybody was on artificial turf. It was knock one down in the corner and be fast enough to get a triple. Steal bases, steal bases, steal bases. Bunt them home on the concrete surface. Easy enough to do. It was a speed era. We've gone into a power era, but there just isn't a great number of players that if you're capable of hitting 30, 40 home runs, they generally don't want you stealing bases. Bobby Witt's going to steal a lot of bases for a lot of years, and there's a reason why. If you keep doing it, they won't walk him. If he becomes a prolific hitter, he becomes the guy you can't walk, because if you walk him, he just doubled. There's a big difference between a single and a double in this game. We all recognize that difference. Bobby Witt Jr.'s jersey is in the Hall of Fame. That is pretty cool. The Royals lost again to the Red Sox by one run. MJ Melendez is a Red Sox killer. He has 6 homers in 10 games against Boston. They lose by one run in a game where, listen, the Royals are down 2-1 in this series. They've lost a pair of one-run games, and then they had the 9-3 win. And I'm not in the business of sitting here and defending the Royals or anything like that. They should be up 3-0 in this series. They got absolutely rammed by the first base umpire in the first game in the series. We talked about that. The worst call you've ever seen, where Hernandez struck the batter out, Urias, and the inning was over, and the guy was headed back to the dugout, and the first base umpire said, nope, he didn't go around. And then he drew a walk on that pitch instead. The next batter hit a home run, and the Red Sox won in a tie game in the bottom of the ninth. This one's just as bad on Wednesday night. They say this has never happened at Fenway, which is just beyond my comprehension. At the scoreboard out there, they have some lights that light up to show you the count. And it says balls, and it has 1, 2, 3 light bulbs. Then it says strikes, and it has 1, 2 light bulbs. And it says out, and there's 3 more light bulbs. And these are big light bulbs, okay? They're bigger than the size of, like, a plate. They're bigger than that because the whole stadium has to see when they're lit up. So they're pretty good size. Bigger than your average plate, like a big giant plate size. Kyle Isbell hits one out there over the left fielder's head yesterday, and it hits the light directly. And the left fielder turns around for Boston and can't find the ball, and the Royals are scoring 2 runs, and a guy's come running in, and it's awesome. The ball is in the scoreboard. It broke the glass over the light. There's no little cage over it. They didn't spend the money to buy unbreakable glass, which is a joke. I can't even imagine why that wasn't done. Red Sox announcers say they've never seen it before. I can't believe that. How does this not happen in batting practice? I'm not buying any of it. Is it just they're cheap? I don't know. The ball sticks in the wall, becomes a ground rule double, and the run doesn't score. Stuck at third. Next batter makes an out. Royals lose by a run. You can't, the Royals are playing well. They've lost 2 out of 3 here. They can't play much better. And I've never seen a team, a Royals team, in 2 out of 3 games this freaking unlucky. It's one thing to be bad. And you know me, I'm an honest guy. If the Royals are playing crappy right now or bad, I'll tell you they're bad. They're playing great. They're playing great. They're getting good pitching, timely hitting. They're hitting home runs. They're doing a lot of things really right. And they have just been, they have had it stuck up their hiney the last 2 losses. Just completely stuck up their hiney with the worst luck you can ever imagine. It's hard to believe that you could be that unlucky. Jay Monahan's the commissioner of the PGA Tour. You've heard about the merger with LIV Golf. Jay Monahan, shortly after the merger, left for health reasons. Took a leave of absence. He was gone for weeks. He is back this week as the playoffs are starting on the PGA Tour. And he's finally talked with reporters and said, as a result of the negotiations with the Saudis and then all of the aftermath with the Saudis over stress and anxiety from all of what happened, he had mental and physical illnesses and took a leave of absence. Said he had to do it for his family. This sounds maybe more mental than physical because he hasn't described the physical part, but you can have mental problems and be physically ill. I understand this. He went somewhere and got some sort of treatment for anxiety and stress and whatever. Jay Monahan has made millions of dollars as commissioner of the PGA Tour. This is an easy call. Finish out this year and step down. Get well. Be there for your family. Finish this playoff season and step down. Jay Monahan, think about it. If you were in a position where you had millions and millions of dollars, but what you were doing was making you take a leave of absence because of the stress and anxiety, do you keep doing that? Not sure I would, man. I think I'd be walking away in a heartbeat. All right, let's talk about a couple people that are dumb in college football. Joe Kelly's dumb. He was the KU lineman that made a bomb threat. We talked about the bomb threats earlier and the guy that got killed in Utah. It's a bad idea to make a bomb threat, folks. It's a real crime. We believe in free speech, but you can't. You just can't. You just can't because we don't know. Too many people that are saying things online and make threats execute those threats. They carry them out. Joe Kelly may not have been a threat at the University of Kansas, but they cleared the building out here a few weeks ago because of his bomb threat. He's been arrested, felony charges. He's been kicked off the team, KU has confirmed, and he's no longer a student at the school. That's the right result, and I'll tell you the best result here is not a bunch of jail time. Let's get him some help. He has no priors. He has nothing before this. You know, maybe I'm just tossing this out. Maybe he was trying to be a better player by taking some steroids or some sort of drugs that were making him a little wacky. These things are all possible. I don't know him. They're from our city. They're from Prairie Village. He went to Shawnee Mission East. I know people that know his family. I'm told they're really good people. Let's show compassion on this one and see if we can't get him some help before we ruin his life. This seems like one pretty early on with a young person that let's maybe diagnose him, get him some help and some treatment and see if that isn't better and do a long probation. Or maybe your sentence is to check into a facility and get mental health treatment for 6 months and then a long period of probation. It seems like this could be one of those cases where grace is in order. Just me. Chip Kelly is the head coach at UCLA, and he doesn't apparently have a brain for anything other than football. Chip Kelly has what he thinks is a better idea than all this realignment. Chip Kelly says, hey, Notre Dame, not Brian Kelly, the former Notre Dame coach. Okay, this is Chip Kelly, the Oregon guy, the failed NFL coach. He's at UCLA, and UCLA is part of the realignment. And UCLA is going to be doing a lot of traveling. He said, football is going to be fine. We're all worried about these minor sports. No, this is just guilt. This is just guilt that they have so much money in football and the other sports don't. The other athletes have quarter scholarships and all this other stuff. So Chip Kelly's got his little guilt hat on. And he says, look, I'm looking at Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's in a conference for everything except football. They're an independent in football. And then they're in a conference for all the other minor sports. So they travel in closer areas and all this other stuff. Chip Kelly says, why don't all 64 power teams do that? Why don't they have conferences for everything except football and let the 64 of us just all be independent and play who we want to play? This is the worst idea I've ever heard. You could literally schedule your way to 12-0. It's a terrible idea. Then what? You schedule your way to 12-0 and you're in the playoff and you didn't beat anybody? And what about the money? What about the television revenue? Television revenue, Chip, at that point, goes individually to the schools, not shared revenue. Guess where you will rank in the Big Ten? Money coming in for your football program. Where do you figure UCLA out of 16 teams in the Big Ten, where do you figure they would rank out of 16 in that conference for television revenue? 10th? I mean, we've got proof that schools like Indiana get better ratings than UCLA. We've got it. It's proven. The highest rated college basketball game last year was an Indiana game. That's basketball, and he's talking football. I get that. Who watches UCLA football games? Who watches them in L.A.? Nobody. Man, I clearly Chip Kelly's not a businessman. Our final on this podcast is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Jessica visited there this week for a routine checkup. Everything is good with her. She said Dr. Bush smiled and told stories the whole time. He loves talking about football, and if he knows you well enough, he loves talking about politics. It can happen. Make your appointment to the dentist more enjoyable with somebody that you have a lot in common with. That is Dr. Bill Bush. nkcdental.com, 816-471-2911. Amini's at 105th and Metcalf. Right now, football season is what everybody's thinking about. That may mean new bar stools for your man cave, or a game machine, a new pool table for when people come over. They've got it all, man. This is it's the cool guy's paradise is what Amini's is, the way I like to say it. They've also got a ridiculous outdoor furniture sale going on right now with 72 months, 0%, no interest financing. Amini's, 105th and Metcalf, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. And play more golf this fall with Great Life Golf. The signature clubs include Canyon Farms, Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, and Tallgrass. If you'd like to join one of those, find out how at greatlifekc.com. greatlifekc.com. They have merged with Brown Golf, and there are now 58 Great Life properties in a number of states, including Hilton Head, Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia. When you travel as a club member of a Kansas City club, you play at massive discounts at those places on the road. This is a great thing to do, especially if you like to travel and play golf. Memberships of these clubs are limited. Canyon Farms currently has a waiting list. The others, give them a call. They're just awesome golf courses. GreatLifeKC.com. Our final put a shiver, a chill down my spine when I read it. I'm not really creeped out or afraid of ticks. Like, I don't like ticks. I don't ever want a tick on me. It's harder when the tick's on the dog because he doesn't really understand what we're trying to do to him. If I get a tick, it's not a very big deal. I'll pull it out with tweezers. If I don't get it all, I'll put the hot match on it or whatever you got to do. It's whatever. It's not that big of a deal. People can get sick from ticks though, right? That's why we don't want ticks on us. But ticks don't, I don't think every day, oh boy, I got to avoid ticks. If I get a tick, I'll deal with it. Oh, I may be changing. The Lone Star tick is now in Kansas and Missouri. The Lone Star tick, if you get bitten by it, you could. It has something in it. I can't do the science here. But its bite can make you allergic to red meat and ice cream. Now, wait a second. What? There's some sort of carbohydrate in red meat and in milk or dairy that if you get bit by this thing, you can become allergic to that carbohydrate and get hives and vomiting and rashes and illness and dizziness and all this stuff. You're telling me that I could get bit by a tick today and never eat another steak or bowl of ice cream the rest of my life? I'm just hoping this is part of the fake news. That's just got to be. That has to be hyperbole. That does not sound right to me. Now, I didn't read in there that one in a million people that get bit by this develop this allergy. Because I'd like my chances of not being that one. I really don't want to go the rest of my life without a cheeseburger or an ice cream cone. I don't look forward to that at all. So stay away. from the Lone Star Tick. You heard it here on KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.